Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss, and the text for today is St. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They say that religion and politics don't mix, but people mix them up all the time. Take King Herod as an example. Jesus was no threat to his rule. Jesus didn't come into this world to challenge Herod's power, but Herod could not think in any other terms than temporal, political terms. He told the wise men that he wanted to worship Jesus. Well, that was a lie. He wanted to murder Jesus, to eliminate him as a political threat. But Jesus was no threat. Herod didn't understand this because he could conceive of no other kind of power than human power. He could understand no other kind of kingdom than one visible to the eye with the trappings of power that politicians of every age admire. People have always used religion for political purposes. Let's look at this campaign year, where candidates advertise their faith to get votes and then run away from whatever confession they hold when it will cost them votes. And of course, it's a political plus to be known as a person of faith. Well, here we Christians need to make a distinction that the Bible makes very clearly. And it's really a distinction between the law and the gospel. God rules the nations of this world by means of the law, but the government of the Prince of Peace is by means of the gospel. When the various governments of this world mete out justice by putting robbers and murderers in jail, they're doing God's work. When the military protects a nation from foreign threats, it is doing God's work. To be able to live in safety and peace is a blessing from God. Bad government causes poverty and scarcity. An ordered liberty is a gift from God. So we pray God for the rule of law and for good government. But the government that Christ came to establish is not a government of the law. It doesn't rely on armies or policemen, guns or prisons. It does not levy taxes. Christ's government is the authority of God Himself to turn a sinner into a saint by forgiving the sinner all of his sins and reckoning him to be righteous. Christ's government is the power of the Holy Spirit to establish a living faith within a heart that was dead in sin. And through this faith, God justifies sinners. He declares them to be righteous, and thereby he makes them fit for heaven. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, having been justified, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Those who trust in Christ's redemption are justified by God. God declares them to be righteous. He forgives them all their sins. And this doesn't depend on what they do. St. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." The government that Christ came to establish is God's gracious rule over us. It doesn't depend on what we do. It depends on what Jesus has done for us. And it is through faith that Jesus rules over us by his grace. The Holy Spirit elicits faith in our hearts by means of the gospel and the sacraments. This is a government of pure grace. The governments through which God rules the nations of the world don't govern by means of eliciting faith. They don't govern by grace. They govern by coercion. The government that Jesus came to establish governs faith. Consider the wise men. There was no law that could have compelled them to travel hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles, bearing expensive gifts for the newborn king of the Jews. It's not as if some potentate issued orders that could not be disobeyed without paying a fine or suffering imprisonment. They went of their own accord. They wanted to worship Jesus. We see evidence of the true worship of the wise men. They brave a long journey. They bring gifts fit for a king. But these are only outward indications of an inner faith. Faith can't be seen, and true faith is true worship. The greatest worship we can offer up to God is to believe what He tells us. The wise men believed God. They went to Jerusalem because that was the logical place to go. It was the holy city. It was the location of the temple. It is where one would expect to find the king of the Jews. So they went to Jerusalem to ask where the king of the Jews was. When the wise men learned from the Bible, from the prophet Micah, that the Savior was to be born in Bethlehem, they traveled to Bethlehem, and God provided them with the guidance of the same star they had been following all along. The star led them to Jerusalem and to the Bible. The star led them to where Jesus was. It served as a divinely appointed sign. If we want to find Jesus, we look to where the teaching of the Bible is purely taught. We seek out the pure gospel. If we want to find Jesus, we look to where the divinely appointed signs identify Him. He is with us in our baptism. He is with us in His Holy Supper. We look to Jesus where Jesus is to be found, and He promises to be present where His gospel is purely preached and His sacraments are rightly administered. So that's where we go. True faith is always the gift of God. People talk about faith as if one can simply conjure it up by some kind of spiritual exercise, but such a view of faith is wrong. When we look within ourselves to find true faith, what else will we find? We will find sinful desires, selfishness, and pride. We will find sinful folly that, if trusted, will yield only death. Christ comes before faith. There is no true faith without the true Christ. And this is why Christ must be proclaimed and confessed, and this is why the true teaching of God's Word concerning Christ is so vital. A false faith condemns the person who holds to it. Not everyone who is called Christian is Christian. The most popular preacher in America today is a man by the name of Joel Osteen. About 40,000 people go to hear him preach every week. His books sell millions of copies. He is sometimes referred to as America's pastor. He was recently asked in an interview if a Mormon was a true Christian. The context of the question was the presidential candidacy of Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon. Osteen replied, "Well, in my mind, they are. Mitt Romney has said that he believes in Christ as his Savior, and that's what I believe. So, you know, I'm not the one to judge the little details of it. So I believe they are." Now, whether or not Mitt Romney is a Christian has no bearing on whether or not he should be elected President of the United States. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Abraham Lincoln are regarded by most Americans as good presidents. None of them was a Christian. God doesn't need Christians to govern the governments of this world. But the question posed to Osteen was not whether or not Romney would be a good president or whether he was a good man. It was whether or not a Mormon is a Christian. And he replied that since a Mormon believes in Christ as his Savior, we shouldn't judge the little details. The Mormon religion teaches that their God used to be a man who became God by doing good, and that faithful Mormons can become gods also. They deny that God is eternal. They deny the Holy Trinity as confessed in the Nicene Creed. They deny that Jesus is true God and true man. They deny the true God, the true Christ, the true gospel, teaching a false religion of salvation by human works. But because they say that Christ is their Savior, the most popular preacher in America pronounces them Christian. Now, how can this be? Faith is divorced from truth. The true doctrine is simply despised. And when the truth is despised, there is no error so outrageous that it will not be embraced. When faith is turned inward to reflect upon itself, Jesus is left out in the cold. True faith is always focused on the true Christ. The true Christ is the Christ who is true God and true man in one person. The true Christ is the Christ who offered himself up on the cross to bear and remove the anger of God against this sinful world. He joins God and the human race together in his own person. And the truth about Jesus is essential to true faith. Self-centered faith focuses in on worship for worship's sake. But if all kinds of worship were of equal value, why should the wise men have wasted their time following the star to where the Christ child lay? The only true worship comes from true faith, and true faith comes from the true gospel of the true Christ. Now, does this offend the religious sensibilities of people of faith? It most certainly does. It offends those who would use religion as a means of self-aggrandizement. It offends those who use Christ as a good luck charm while promoting a religion that teaches sinners to justify themselves. But for those who see their own sins when they look within for faith and who seek a gracious God upon whom to rely, the truth of Epiphany is a light shining in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. The world will try to twist him and turn him into something that he is not. If political correctness requires it, people will pronounce an anti-Christian cult to be a Christian church. After all, who would want to judge the faith of another? But only the true gospel can produce the true faith. Looking within to find our authentic faith, we have found deceit, insincerity, lust, greed, malice, and an unforgiving spirit. We cannot afford to look within ourselves for assurance. We look instead to the pure gospel of Christ that is taught in the Holy Scriptures, and we set our hope firmly on the God-man who suffered divine vengeance against all sinners. By his redemption, that is, by the blood he shed to set us free, we are forgiven of all our sins. We know that we are justified by Christ's blood because God says so, and he has graciously enabled us to believe his gospel. So we express our faith, as did the wise men, with gifts. What gift can we give to express our faith? We give what is precious to us. We give our offerings. We give our praise. We give our time. We give our lives. We go to where Jesus is, and we receive his holy word. And God keeps and sustains us in the true and saving faith. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is brought to you by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Our schedule for divine service every Sunday morning is as follows. 8 o'clock Sunday morning at First American in Mayville, 10:30 Sunday morning at Grace in Crookston, and Sunday at noon at First Evanger in Fertile. If you'd like to read these sermons and listen to the broadcasts, you may go to www.christforus.org. And you're also free to send me an email and let me know what you think of the broadcast. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. And please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.